Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
Here are my initial thoughts on Trump's assassination of this guy, this general, and the consequences thereof. I've been posting stuff on my website and reading various things, and there are some very interesting twists to this thing. And I know that a lot of people are talking about these things can lead to World War III and all that. I don't buy into that anymore these days. And there are reasons why. The kind of warfare that the world is engaging in these days, after World War II, after World War II, there is a definite trend by the great powers to not have a war like World War I and World War II. Even those who won it do not seem to be keen to ever try to go through something like that again. So in many ways, World War I and maybe especially World War II seems to have actually scared everybody away from the idea of big war. And if you actually look at the way the militaries work these days, there are trends that armies go through in history, and you can see it in European history. There was a time, for example, for centuries before the time of Napoleon, where warfare was not conducted the way that we've come to know it to be. Warfare used to be waged for a long time in the Christian era. War was waged for a long time by small, highly professional armies, even by armies of mercenaries. And if you look at the way the Americans are doing it now, they've actually gone back to that way of waging war that was used maybe 300 years ago. So you have small armies, they're highly professional, and they even use mercenaries. The Americans use lots of mercenaries, all kinds of mercenary companies out there. This kind of war is small-scale war. It's very limited war as well. In the time of Europe when they did this, it was very limited. Small professional armies would go and fight other small professional armies. The things they would achieve would be minimal, and it would never be like a big scale thing. Where warfare in the time of the Romans, and the pagans, warfare was a big thing. They used to call up lots of men, and they used to go and fight intensely for their interests. But warfare changed at times, and like I say, at certain times, it became a much smaller affair, and most of the people didn't even take part and didn't even care. And the kings would have to raise money for those armies. And it seems to me that these days, this is the style of warfare that we're back to. But what it also means is that it means that massed warfare is always the next level up. And World War II was an example of massed warfare, where they call up people and they fight in a big way on a large scale. I think that the Americans are doing their utmost. They don't want to go into these things. I think everybody has got too much to lose. That's why I don't think anyone who says there's going to be World War III is just missing the boat here. World War III cannot happen under these conditions. There's too much for everybody to lose. And if you look at the way they're actually fighting, you'll see that the Americans go and they fiddle a bit in Syria. Then the Russians go and they also fiddle a bit in Syria. and so on. Most of the warfare, especially in that region, is warfare by proxy. They use each other. They get others to do their fighting for them. It's not a good system. It doesn't work well, but they do it because it's cheap and they don't have much in the way of casualties. It's a sort of a slow, never-ending, irritating kind of a warfare. It's very similar to the kind of warfare that blacks in Africa wage against each other. It's just more sophisticated, but similar kind of stuff. For warfare to really move into a World War III type level, you're going to need somebody there must be a political movement that they really don't want. And I believe that the only thing that could ever actually lead to World War III, I believe, is if white people start seizing control, trying to seize control of countries. I think that will ultimately lead to World War III. But for all these other things, that's not what they're up to. Returning to Iran, as far as I can see, the guy that they killed, he was the top Iranian guy. He was brilliant. He was responsible for organizing all the Muslims everywhere and for these Muslims to be able to carry on fighting for as long as they did. And he seems to be the most brilliant guy that they had. And he's responsible for the fact that these wars are still raging. The Americans had thought they could just come and smash everybody and it would be over in a day. And I think this guy has played a big role in preventing that from happening. So the Americans constantly refer to him as a terrorist. He's not a terrorist. He's an actual general. He's their top guy. He was the top guy in Iran. And they clearly had to kill him because he was so good. But I noticed the way that Trump did this thing, and I think I can see what Trump is up to. And here's my opinion of the matter, is that first of all, Trump did not notify the Congress about this. And normally in warfare in America, Congress is actually the only thing that's allowed to, that has the power to declare war. Trump did not even tell Congress he was going to do this. Just as weird was the fact that the British also weren't told about this. And the British are the lapdogs of the Americans. The British will do anything. They'll lick the Americans' boots anytime because they believe they're in this special relationship, which sounds like a bunch of faggots, if you ask me. Britain and this weird concept of the special relationship with America. Total rubbish, and I think the British are kidding themselves. But anyway, the British are always ready to do anything that America wants. And very interestingly enough, Trump did not notify them. Their prime minister did not even know about it. In actual fact, the only people who knew about it were the Israelis and the Americans. And it seems to me that Israel was the one supplying the so-called intelligence on which America based its attacks. And then there was somebody else who said to me that they also found a reference where Israel had provided the intelligence, and then Israel said, oh, goodness, it was a mistake. And the Jews may have lied, and America's already done the thing. But be that as it may, the big thing is whether Trump is gonna attack Iran itself. And the way that Trump has actually worded this thing, I think Trump has set them up, and I think he's got a plan that's not quite the plan that the Jews want. Israel has been wanting America and Europe to attack Iran for a very long time, from more than 10 years ago. Back in 2008 already, my Israeli contacts were already telling me that this is what they want, and they'll go to nuclear war over Iran and so forth. The reality is Israel is too scared of Iran because Iran is unbelievably difficult to conquer. Israel doesn't stand a hope in hell against Iran. They'll never even come close to being able to deal with them. So what Israel has really been trying to do is to try and get white guys to go and die for Israel by fighting Iran. And their hope has been to get America and Europe and Britain to all go and fight Iran. But nobody in their right mind actually wants to do it. And I agree. So what Trump has done is Trump has said that if there's any kind of effort by these people to hit back at America, that America will then go and smash 52 targets inside Iran. And I've done some thinking about it, and I think that the real game is this. I think that Trump wants them to make a move, any kind of move. He wants them to attack anything, because then it gives him an excuse. And the way he's worded it, he's made it literally impossible for the Iranians to not do anything. He's basically told Iran to shut up and stay quiet, or else he'll fuck them up. And I think that the reason he's done it is because he's expecting them not to do that. And what he really wants, in my opinion, is Trump really wants them to do something, because then it gives him the excuse that he needs in order to hit the 52 targets inside Iran. My own thinking is that if this is how Trump is handling it with air power, that maybe what Trump is doing is he's fighting half of a war. Instead of invading by land and trying to fight on the ground, etc., I think Trump is actually really, he's looking for an excuse so that he can bomb those 52 places. Because I think the 52 places that he's going to bomb will be of such a nature that he will have destroyed most of the military power of the Iranians. That's what I'm thinking. I think he wants them to do something, and then he goes and he smacks them with these bombs, with these bombing campaigns, and then he buggers off. Then in that way, he's achieved the goals of Israel, but he's done so without going on the ground and engaging in a war on the ground. And then this also is not an official war. It's just a bunch of raids and a bunch of threats, and he's smashed what he needed to smash, and he goes. So I think that is my suspicion as to how I think Trump is playing this thing, and that's as far as it goes. I think that once he smacked the 52 targets, that's pretty much gets the main job done. The whole Middle East is actually weird, and the Americans themselves have actually pushed the Israelis into alliances with the Arabs. So they're actually trying, so Israel and Saudi Arabia and all these countries are actually starting to work together. They're actually trying to create this Israeli and Muslim coalition against Iran, because Iran is the only one that's like really standing up to Israel. And so, and personally, I don't think that's even going to be a very effective thing. But be that as it may, that's how these things are actually working. Saudi Arabia is fighting on the same side as Israel. These are things that used to be unthinkable. So anyway, the bottom line is that Israel itself can't be in such a good position. The fact that the Jews are teaming up with Muslims, especially Saudi Arabia, which should be one of their main enemies, that should show you that Israel no longer has got the kind of power that it used to have. The days of Israel just smashing the Muslims and Arabs, those days are over. They are now teaming up with them, and they're playing all kinds of, and the United States is there, and they're playing all kinds of divide and conquer type of nonsense. But I think the bottom line is that I don't think there's going to be declarations of war, and I don't think Americans are going to be going in on the ground to fight. I think Trump has got enough air power that he just wants to go and blow up all the stuff he wants to blow up, and that's that. And then he's achieved his goal. And by killing that guy, they probably killed the best guy that those people have. So even if those people are pissed off, it may be that this sort of is a method of sort of winding down some of those wars, because America is taking strain. America is getting sick of these wars. They're getting tired even of Afghanistan. They've been looking for reasons to get out of it. So those are among the things that I think. And I think that that Trump will have done what he's done, and then he doesn't have to go in and fight land battles and things, because 90% of Iran is highly mountainous, and the only place that you could really invade is in the flat areas near Iraq. And if they did invade those areas, then they could seize Iraq's oil fields. But I think I'm willing to bet that I don't think America is going to do that. I think Trump is just looking for an excuse to go and bomb. I think that's the real thing that he's out to do. He's just looking for the excuse to bomb, and then he bombs the things he needs to bomb, because they know where all the locations are of the various things. And he's set such impossible criteria that the slightest thing that the Iranians does, he can then just construe it as them not listening to him, and then he goes and bombs them. I reckon it's a given that he wants them to do something, and then he says, well, you see, I have to go and bomb them, and off he goes. And that's that. But I must tell you, I think also the world is getting sick and tired of these fights in the Middle East. I think the Jews and Israel have made as much use of America and Europe as they can, and it's not quite the same. Russia seems to be quite on the go again, and it looks like we're into Cold War number two. But the Europeans especially are not interested in any of this stuff. And that's a good sign. And I thought it was quite astounding that Britain wasn't consulted. In fact, it's my opinion. This is totally just my opinion. It's my opinion that the reason they didn't consult Britain was because there may have even been a strong chance that the British might have said no. So I think that is why he didn't consult Britain. These are just my own thoughts on the matter.
These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.